Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, a notepad, and a pen if you're able, and take notes. We're going to go into a message we did right here in the Baton Rouge area, How to Cease from Sin. Do you not know the Bible teach, and most people teach, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that is correct. But do you not know that the Bible teach that we can repent from sin, cease sinning, and never sin again? That's the message that haven't been preached in the church. So I want to take you to a message entitled, How to Cease from Sin, taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You can live the rest of your life doing the will of God. Confirming verses Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and 75. Let's go into the message now and prove it further. God bless you.
Time I see something in the scripture that I think will help you, I want to release it to you, because in the body of Christ, the body of Christ got a lot of things twisted. Now, it's just a fact. They got a lot of things twisted. And I was telling AJ this morning, when we look in the public and we see the church that we see, the church that you can see with your eyes, that's really not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a system called the church. Now, in that system that's called the church, there's a lot of bride members in it. There's a lot of God's people in that system called church. It's a system. That's not the true church of Jesus Christ, because the true church of Jesus Christ embraced the doctrine of the scriptures. The true church of Jesus Christ is a holy bride, and it don't have sinful messages in it. That is a religious system that we look at. I'm telling you, the media, the television, what we see for the most part, I'm telling you, that is not the true church of Jesus Christ. That is the system. It's called church. Y'all understanding me? The true church of Jesus Christ is really hidden. It's really an invisible church. Okay? But it's going to be visible before the Lord returns, because God's people are going to start popping up everywhere, and they ain't going to believe stupid doctrines. They ain't going to live no any kind of way. They're going to look just like Jesus Christ, and the world going to say, these are Christians again. They're going to rise in the earth again, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Now, I have over 3,000 people go to our website, and I have several of them call me, and every time they call me, they've been listening to the messages online for several months, and 90% of them are preachers. And whenever God is moving, don't you know how he move? He move in order. He start with the head, then the body. That's a true move of God. But anyway, I had did a teaching on binding and loosing, and I was trying to teach, and hopefully I proved it by the scripture, and if I didn't, I always throw a few nuggets in. So this is not the message today, but I want to throw these nuggets in, because if I teach something, you ought to be able to see it all over the Bible, and you ought to be able to prove it from Genesis to Revelation. Otherwise, it's not the truth. It's just something my interpretation of the Bible. So I'm showing you this is not my interpretation. Ezekiel 34, verse 15. And every time I run across these scriptures, I like to throw them out there. Now, in Ezekiel 30, was upset with the pastors, the shepherds, because they had scattered the flock. They was feeding themselves, and they wasn't feeding the people. And God was very, very upset with them. And if you read Ezekiel 34, that's what he's talking about. But then he said he's going to gather his sheep together. And in verse 15, it says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, said the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken. Binding was for God's people, not for the devil. In the scriptures from the Old and the New Testament, and even when Jesus told Peter, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, that had nothing to do with demons, but the religious church, the system that's called the church, just took something and ran off. And it got a lot of bride members out there doing things that God never authorized in his word. Binding and loosing was dealing with people. He was telling Peter, I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to be upon this rock. I'm going to build my church. He's people. Okay. It was people that was going to be loosed from the devil's power and brought to the kingdom and bound up unto the kingdom. And see, when the preaching of the word go forth, there's an anointing on the word. There should be an anointing on every preacher that preached the word, but there's an anointing on the word. And when the word of God goes out and goes in your hearing, it does something to your emotions. It does something to your thought life. It does something to your life. What it is doing is binding you to the kingdom. It's binding you to the Father. Binding was bringing two things together. Okay? And most folks, the religious church has taken it and went binding the devil to the people. They thought they was casting him out, tying him up. You can't tie the devil up. Can't nobody bind the devil but the angel that's going to come down from heaven, bind him to the bottomless pit. Otherwise, he's loosed in the earth. And can't nobody bind him until the time is for him to be bound. So I want to show you another scripture that God going to take his sheep and bind them. And the power of the word binds our heart to God. If you endure this word, no matter where your life is, you could be in sin, you could be living wrong. But if you stay under this word and endure it, this word will cause you to start hating sin. Yes, it will. If you endure it, most people don't endure it because they don't want to stop sinning. But if you really want to get your life together and you hang tight with this word will keep doing something to you. It's binding your heart. It's making you face your life. It's making you face your way. That's binding. Hosea 6 and verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal. He is smitten and he will bind us up. Binding is for the kingdom of God. Binding people to the kingdom of God. By the power of the preaching of the word, binding your emotions, your heart, your love for God, binding you to God, yoking you up with God. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, because he has, the Lord has anointed me to preach good tithing unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up. Look at that, bind up. That's why God sent a preacher to preach, to bind up the brokenhearted. This word will heal your heart. This word will heal you from broken emotions. Something may be going on in your life and I don't know nothing about it. I mess around and hit on something. The Holy Ghost binding up your emotion, healing you. Glory to God. Bind up the brokenhearted to proclaim liberty to the captive. If you're captive by something, if something going on, demonic going on in your life, the word will deliver you right there. Truth set people free. And if you need personal touch, come on up. We'll cast the devil out of you and off of you. Amen. I'm glad Minister Augusta's teaching on deliverance. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, we'll lay hands on you. We'll cast the devil out. Devil can't do nothing here. And we ain't scared of the devil here. Amen. But the word can loose you. Amen. The word can heal you. It says to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Look at that. This word has power. So let's stand before I get into the word today, and let's stand in honor of the word that the Lord's going to minister through me today. I yield myself to him, and we want to tell the Father about standing that, Lord, we honor your word. We give your word free reign in our heart. We're not going to run from your word. And if we are doing something that your word forbid, Lord, help us. That's what we pray. And Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we honor you, Lord, even as you have spoke to me in a still small voice, to tell the people to always honor the word. God, we honor the word. We thank you for the word of God. The word of God holds the heavens together. And that word will hold our lives together. Now, Father, as the preaching and teaching of the word of God go forth, I pray you'll bind up the broken heart. I pray you'll heal every hurt inside of human beings, Lord God. I pray that every demonic force be cast out of their thoughts. Every demonic power be cast out of their home. Every demon go in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we take authority over the powers of hell, and we command hell to loose the people of God. We command hell to loose the atmosphere in Baton Rouge. We command hell to loose the airways wherever we go and preach the gospel. Hey, glory to God, and we release the power of God through the airways. through the radio ministry, through television ministry, through the internet, Lord. Let your power go in through that internet, Lord, in every home, and loose them and heal up and bind their broken heart. Clap and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. That's a demonstration of spirit and power. How many of y'all feel the spirit and the power? Glory to God. Can't no flesh stir that up. That's the power of God. Amen. My, 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 my. Take and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to begin reading at verse 17. For it is better if the will of God be so. Y'all hear that? It's better for God's will to be so opposed to your will. That you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It is better to suffer for well-doing than evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. What did he suffer for?
Sins.
Don't ever get tired of me dealing with that, because I got to deal with that man of sin in the body of Christ. That was the whole issue. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, keep in mind, as I go to my next verse before I give you the subject, that it's better to suffer for doing well. Okay, it's better because, see, if you suffer for doing right, you got God behind you. See, but if you suffer for doing wrong, you're just suffering, and you got humanity and society against you. And if you broke laws, you got the law against you, and you got God against you. But if you suffer for well-doing, if you do right and suffer for it, then you got God and the heavenly host behind you. So it's better to suffer for well-doing. Okay. And then he said, now for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. Now see, Christ suffered for us. Okay. He chose to suffer for what was right, even when they spit in his face. Bible said he suffered for the just and the unjust. The ones that cursed him. The one that took a spear and rammed it in his side and it broke his flesh, and Bible said blood and water came out. The Bible says he suffered for him too. So far as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, now arm yourself likewise. See, this Bible got us. We can say we believe this Bible all we want. Amen. I'm talking to the atmosphere. I'm talking to the whole Christian world. You can talk all the noise you want about you believe God. You believe the man upstairs. You love him, and you're a Christian. But if you can't suffer as a Christian, and what I mean by suffering is refusing to do wrong. I'm not talking about suffering with pain, suffering with sickness, suffering with poverty. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about if you can't suffer and you can't do what's right because you're a Christian and because Christ did what was right for me, you're not worthy of this Bible and you're not worthy of God. And that's the Bible. And a lot of folk won't tell you that, but because, you know, the mega church movement started out by sweetening up the message to get the people in. I'm not sweetening up nothing. You can't sweeten this gospel up. This Bible said, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, now arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. If you don't have the same mind Christ had, if after this service is over, next week, all the rest of your life, if you don't choose right over wrong, you are not worthy of the God you claim you believe in. Brother Andrew said, that's right. I know Brother Andrew's going to do right from here on out. Amen. I'm saying that's right. And y'all see me doing something other than that, you ought to rebuke me. Y'all hear me? I think we're scared to rebuke each other. You know, a rebuke is just saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. That's a rebuke. A rebuke is not talking ugly to nobody. No, you shouldn't do that. That's love. Mm-hmm. It's as far as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Same mind. For he, now watch this. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now that Bible telling you right here that if you just make a choice that I'm going to choose right over wrong, because that's the same mind my Savior had. And the Bible said, just like he had that mind and suffered for me, now I'm going to arm myself likewise with the same mind and suffer for him. I'm going to do what's right over what's wrong for the rest of my life. And the Bible said, when you do, you will cease sinning. Look how easy it is to serve God. You know how easy it is to serve God? A choice you got to make. Now, they got preachers. Help me, Holy Ghost. You know when I get the preachers. I love preachers. But Matthew 23, Jesus didn't play with preachers. He didn't play with leaders, especially when they was misleading people. And he loved them just the same. And I don't play with preachers. And I don't like these preachers misleading these folks. And yeah, I call your name when I have to. And God told me to call names. And if I'm out there misleading somebody, you ought to call my name. See, I done left out the pastoral role. I was pastoring y'all. Now I'm in apostle mode now. See, so y'all got to know how to distinguish the two, because I thank God for this flock here. Let me, y'all don't know. I was just discerning when I walked in here. I'm so happy to come here and be y'all pastor, because look, you can't know anybody endure this kind of teaching. Can't know anybody stay under this kind of teaching. So I'm happy for you guys. I love y'all. I love y'all. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. All of y'all. Love you. Love coming here. Because I wouldn't want to go nowhere where they don't want to hear the truth. Amen. Amen. I don't care if I got 10 that love the truth. I'd rather be with 10 than 10,000 that don't want God's word. Because I ain't got the time. I ain't in this to play. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me get back to this here without getting on them preachers. But now watch this. Watch this. Now the Bible say, this verse right here. This verse right here. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. This verse, along with many others, say you can stop sinning. So that's why I get stirred up for a preacher telling folks all of us gonna sin. Nobody can stop sinning. No such thing as sinless perfection. You're a lie, preacher. And the truth ain't in you there. Don't teach that to folks. This Bible say you can cease sinning. The way to cease sinning is make a decision. You got to be born again first. Make a decision. I'm going to choose right over wrong. And when you live your life that way, you will cease sinning. Don't tell me you can't stop sinning. This Bible say you can see. Then in verse 2 says that it's a choice that he no longer. See, watch this. You'll cease sinning when you make the decision that I will no longer live the rest of my time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. To stop sinning just mean a choice. I'm going to choose right over wrong the rest of my life, and I'm going to live the rest of my life to the will of God. You will stop sinning if you make that choice right there. Yes, it is in the Bible. I'm going to teach you on how to cease from sin. How to cease from sin. I think I done already told you. We can cease sinning. Hallelujah. The word of God is clear concerning why he sent Jesus to the earth. And it's called sin. Sin is what sent him. To live, to set the example for human race, and to die for them, to pay for their price, to blot it out. And the scripture is clear now. And I've been teaching on this a while. Most of y'all know it. Scripture is clear. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. Jesus came to save us from our sins. St. John 1, verse 29. He came to take away our sins. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 through 8. He came to destroy our sin. Why in the world there's doctrines and preachers who preaching there's no such thing as sinless perfection? When you hear a preacher tell you that, you ought to know that preacher is preaching under an antichrist anointing. Because that is not the Bible. It's too many scriptures against it. And why do parishioners support a man that keep teaching no such thing as sinless perfection? Nobody can stop sinning when the Bibles tell you how to stop sinning. Make a choice that I'm going to choose God over wrong, and I'm going to do the will of God the rest of my life. And if you say you can't do that, you ain't never met Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It says... sin is the issue. Now, as we look closely at the scriptures, we see it was only one act of sin, not two, three, four, five. It wasn't even a sin nature, because some preachers right now, especially my beloved preacher in this city, get up and teach doctrines to the body of Christ about you still have a sin nature after the Bible said you were by nature. You done taken it away. Almost every Wednesday, I listen to him all the time, and he's just a spokesman. I'm on all of them. I'm on every preacher in town. Elijah was one man of God up against 400 prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, if your God be God, let him call on him. And whoever answered by fire, let him be God. And I'm up against every doctrine in the church. I'm up against every preacher that's telling a lie, teaching a lie, talking about we still have a sin nature. Ain't nowhere in the Bible. God didn't call no preacher to get up and preach to the sons and daughters of God or sin nature. That ain't no gospel. You tell me I still got a sin nature. Adam didn't have no sin nature and sin, because they try to say because of the sin nature, that's why we prone to sin. Well, Adam wasn't created with no sin nature. What made him sin? He made a choice. If Adam would have made a choice, God done made me, I'm going to live for him the rest of my life and do what he say, Adam wouldn't have sinned.
That's it. Yeah.
Adam hadn't settled that. And if we in our generation don't settle that, we going to do what he did. Now, it is true after Adam sinned, the Bible says our spirit came to live in the whole human race, and the Bible said the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. So we always, and at that time we did have a sin nature, but Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 down to verse 3 said you were by nature, which means you, the verse 2 verse 1 said you hath he quickened. He done made you alive. He done brought your soul alive. He done, and then 2 Corinthians 5:17 said now you a new creature. Old thing things passed away. All things have become new. Now that just tear up that doctrine. And any preacher preaching against the scriptures, let him be cursed. I ain't talking to the saints now. So y'all saints don't get mad at me because I deal with these preachers. True apostles sent to bring correction. And I'm telling you, I know I'm stirring some stuff up in the airways, and I don't mind because I know why I'm sent. These apostles, where there's true apostles, where are you? If you're busy assessing fees and gathering churches to say, look at the organization I got, true apostles bring correction in the word.
Hallelujah.
And ain't after money. Where are the true apostles?
Okay.
Apostle means one sent by God to bring correction. And this message is bringing correction everywhere it goes. I'm telling y'all, I'm telling y'all, we got thousands of people listening to us. Thousands of them. And they call me. And when I'm looking through that camera and when I'm talking through this mic, I ain't just talking here.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to these preachers, we need to get this thing right. You need to stop telling God's people these lies. Those lies are not in the Bible. And if nobody stand up in my generation, I will. I'm standing up for God. And I'm like Elijah. I'm calling out these 400 prophets of Baal or however many we got. And I'm saying, repent. And let's teach the truth.
Amen.
Glory to God. So Adam didn't have no sin nature, and he sinned. He sinned by choice. Once a person been born again, you've been delivered from that sin nature. Now if you go back to sin, you choose to do that. And if you choose to do it, you go back, you get entangled, you create lust in you. And the Bible said, every man is tempted when he's drawn of his own lust. It's not the devil's lust no more. Before we got saved, it was the devil's lust. Because he said, you are of your father. The devil was our father. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. We didn't have a choice before we got saved. But when we got saved and delivered from the bondage of the enemy, then God freed us back to make our own choice. Now, if you choose to go back in sin, like I said, you create your own lust. Bible says every man is tempted when he's drawn over his own lust. It ain't the devil's lust no more. So now you running around running after prostitutes. You running around running after stealing money. It could be anything. Whatever you running after, you created that, son of God. That ain't no sin nature. That's your choice. And your choice created lust in you. You think it's a sin nature. It's your choice that created lust. And now you're dealing with lust. There ain't no sin nature. Hallelujah. Stop lying on God. You trying to say God didn't really mean 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You blaspheme the word of God when you say that and teach that to the body of Christ. And any preacher making himself the standard for the body, if I couldn't do it, if Paul couldn't do it, nobody couldn't do it. Paul wasn't struggling in Romans chapter 7. Go read that in context. That's a lie being taught to the body. That ain't what Romans 7 says. Romans 7 verse 1 says, know ye not, I speak to them that know the law. Paul was talking to the unregenerated Jews who was not that knew the law, trying to live it without being born again. And preachers done took Romans chapter 7, twisted it, and made the church look like we still got a sin nature. And the whole church said, oh, I understand why I'm sinning now. No, you don't. You don't understand if you don't hear this gospel. Because this truth says you created that. God did his job. Boy, I ain't got out of my introduction yet. So it was one sin. When we look at the scripture, one sin created the chaos in the world. One sin created the biggest hurricane in history. One sin created all the death, the sorrow. One sin caused us to have to die in this life and depart from loved ones. One sin. Now, what the church have done is the church has come up with doctrines that I'm uncovering. One of the doctrines in the church, and you need to listen closely. Every time you hear a preacher, you're supposed to be testing that preacher. What he say? Test his message. The message reveals the nature of the preacher. If my message has to do with getting you a car, a house, or money, and if I'm prophesying, I see God giving you a house, I see God giving you a car, I see money. Look, now all that may be true, but God ain't send no preacher to do that. Amen. That's a Satan preacher. And then they say, honey, can you make it tonight? Drop everything. Make it tonight. You know what they're doing? You know what the preacher's doing? Those preachers trying to draw a crowd, they're going to draw money out of you when they get there. God don't do that. When God sent a preacher, he sent a preacher dealing with the spirit world, dealing with the world to come, dealing with how to please God with your life. If that ain't what that preacher saying, that preacher preaching an antichrist message. Now, how hard is that to figure out? It's simple as that. Go search your Bible. You don't find nowhere in the Bible God sent a preacher to preach about natural things, money coming. That message didn't come from God. Mm-mm. God wouldn't have sent that message. Why would he send that message and he got a scripture sitting over here, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom. See, it's the kingdom. And all the things, which is money, cars, land, houses, job, whatever you need. All the things. He said, your father know you have need of those things. Don't he ain't send no preacher to preach that.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. For more free teaching, I want to refer you to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. Our phone number is 225-272-6647. Apostle Lewis said we love you. God bless you. See you on the next broadcast.